what we want to do is we want to cast a vision for what God, we believe God is doing in our midst. So to start, our pastor is going to come up and he's going to share the vision of what we feel like God is doing. After that, I'm going to come up and I'm going to share what we believe we need to do in order to see a lot of this happen. All right, so how are we going to do this? I'm going to explain that. And then after that, we have a time of Q&A where y'all can ask a couple of questions, a few questions. And then after that, we're just going to spend a number of minutes together praying to God that he would move mightily in us and through us in our city, because we believe that God wants to see a gospel awakening in our city that will be carried to the ends of the earth. Amen? So that's what we want to see. So if you will welcome our pastor, Spence Shelton, to the stage.
All right. Man, I'm so glad to see you guys. I drove by the Arboretum Chick-fil-A, and it was completely empty at 6 p.m., and I thought, oh, no, rapture. Miss it. Like, nope, turns out they're just doing something. I don't know what's going on. So really glad y'all are here. Yeah, it was just me. That was going to be weird. But hey, listen, I feel like the goals for tonight, we're going to try and keep this thing pretty simple for us, okay? We believe, the elders of the church believe, that this is just the biggest transition and the biggest step of faith that our church has taken in a lot of ways, at least with the biggest impact on the regular rhythm of our church, since we launched Mercy Church 3 years ago, September of 2015. And so what we want to do tonight is to be as clear as we can on why we believe the step that we're taking is both faithful as it can be to what God calls the church to be about, because that's top on our priority, is to be faithful to what God calls the church to be about. And why we believe this step is faithful to that calling of the local church and effective in our calling to reach people in our context, to be good missionaries to the city and location that God has placed us in. That's our goal. Faithful and effective. So as Scott said, I'm going to address a lot of the why we believe we're doing this. I'm going to give a little bit of the how this is all going to flesh out, and then Scott's going to kind of follow with that. So we're going to start with this why we're doing it. And my goal is to kind of show you some things that our elders have been observing really over the past about 6 months, all right? And they kind of fall into three buckets, and there's three things because, yeah, I was trained in a Baptist seminaries, so there's always three things. I tried to alliterate them, but I didn't get there. Three things that have kind of converged together that just, as best as we can tell, this is the Lord kind of guiding us and affirming in us, this is the step to take, okay? And then, like Scott said, we'll go through the rest of those things. The first thing is that's converging on this is our mission. Our mission to be faithful and effective disciple makers in our day. So, like, if most of you, probably all of you just about, have come through our starting point process, our new member process, and you hear me reference Matthew 28, 18 through 20, like why the church does what it does. It's a common passage, but at the core of who we are, our mission statement, make disciples who love God, love each other, love our world. At the core of that, that's built off of Matthew 28, 18 through 20, right? Where he says, Jesus came to them, and what did he say? Y'all know this one. All authority has been given to him, been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and what's the command? Make disciples, right, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them, right, there's this activity that we're to engage in, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and remember, I'm with you always. And I put this in front of you again tonight to remind you that at the heartbeat of our church, so at the heartbeat of when our elders are assessing what's the step so we feel like God's calling us to take, at the heartbeat is a church that is centered on discipleship. This is not like, and to give you a comparison, we're not an evangelistic crusade where it's an event and you make a convert. It's a group of people that are covenanted together through Christ, and our goal, our purpose is to make disciples, which means practicing the sacraments that God gave the church of baptism, communion, teaching them how to follow everything he said, right? Teaching people to be obedient to Jesus and to find joy in that. And because of this, y'all, God, I feel like as he's kind of given me a high view of what the church is and a really one that I've come to love the church, y'all, I just see as I'm looking through the scripture that he reserves all of his, like, his greatest praise, if you will, for the church, or at least his most valuable words. He says it's his body, his family, his bride. He loves the church. And that realization that the church is this sacred body that's meant to mold people into disciples of Jesus, y'all, that's the vision that in my early 20s, I just decided that was going to be worth giving my life to seeing that being built. And so Courtney and I decided a few years ago, this was worth laying our lives down for the things we loved and coming and planting Mercy Church. And most of you are here tonight, I hope, because you share a similar love for God's passion for his church. And the reason you love the church is because you see all that Great Commission stuff that God cares about so much, and you're like, that's local church stuff. Baptizing, equipping, sending, according to the Bible, this is what the church is to be about. And so for us, the elder team leading Mercy, that's our top priority. We want to see the kingdom of God advanced in our lifetime, and at the center of our concern for Mercy's role in advancing that kingdom is that God has not called us to just make converts. He's called us to make disciples. And the best environment for disciple making is a thriving local church. I'm giving you all that out front to say that what drives us in our decision making for where we're going and in this big step that we're taking is to be faithful to that calling to make disciples. And the elders of our church believe that the step we're going to take is a faithful one. And just so we're all on the same page, that step is that beginning in about 6 weeks, we are going to start gathering on Sunday mornings in 2 locations and not just one as we have been doing up to this point, right? So we'll be worshiping at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. in 2 locations. They're on Providence Road, 7200 Providence Road. That'll be Mercy Providence Road. And then here, as we have been, that's Mercy Independence. It's kind of what we're calling that because Mercy Happy Times Ballroom just had a different ring to it that we weren't ready to own just yet, right? Even though that's the official name of the room we're in. So this is 2 locations that we're gathering in now, right? Big, big step. And we believe gathering as one church in 2 locations is being faithful to what God calls the church to be. And if you don't have much exposure to, this term is often put under the umbrella of something called a multi-site strategy, which simply means we're in 2 locations at the same time, multiple locations at the same time. For us, it's 2. It's not very new. I want to tell you, the early church was one church meeting in multiple locations. New Testament and archaeological evidence show us that the church in Corinth, the church in Jerusalem, the church in Rome, the church in Antioch, the church in Thessalonica, the church in Ephesus, the church in Philippi, the church in Laodicea, this was one church. Each one of these represented, there was a church in the city that met and gathered weekly in a bunch of different homes and then had a regular rhythm where they also pulled together from time to time as one gathered body. So they met in multiple locations and then they came together as one gathered body. And we see that and we go, there's nothing new that we're pulling out here, and we intend for the same thing. We'll be gathering in 2 locations on a weekly rhythm, and then we'll have times where we come together as one body. And secondly, the reason that we believe that this happened both there and the reason we feel that this is a faithful step is because we believe that the essence of the local church is its covenant with one another, not necessarily its assembling together. In other words, it's not us being on the same place that makes us a local body. Now, we do believe gathering together is indispensable to the local body, okay? But it is not the totality of what makes the local church body. We covenant together as believers to assemble, but also to follow Jesus, to disciple one another, to give to God's mission, to serve our city, to evangelize, to uphold a certain, to really uphold the Christian ethic with one another, and even to discipline one another when we step away from that and out of that line. Assembly is critical, but it is just not the total function of a church. That's actually one of the reasons, by the way, why we're so insistent on planting local churches all around the world. And I know that's not tonight's topic, but it's important, kind of, I think you'll see how it connects. You know, we've helped plant churches in Brooklyn, LA, Atlanta. Some of y'all have just recently been to visit churches overseas with some of our teams there. We want to be about the advancement of the gospel and disciples being made everywhere. And the faithful way to do that is to plant local churches in those cities. So we don't believe that we're going beyond Charlotte with the idea of being in multiple locations, bringing it back home. We want to be about the advancement of the gospel right here. We want to feel the burden and calling of reaching the nations, but we want to be tenacious for getting after the advancement of the gospel in our own backyard. There are 2.4 million people in the Charlotte metro area, 1 million now, over 1 million in the city limits alone, and this is where God has us. and I think about the makeup and the leadership of Mercy Church, and I see a strategy that is biblically faithful to God's calling on the church to make disciples, and one that also seems effective, and I get excited about us moving forward. I'm going to give you a little bit on why I think this strategy is going to be effective based on where we've seen it before. First one, just really very practical, is cost. Y'all, we have been looking for a building, right, that we could move into a larger building. Well, if you keep scaling that out and keep going for a larger and larger building, a simple way to say this is mega church buildings come with mega cost. All right, it's expensive. And we're stumbling instead into something that is incredibly resourceful. Instead of around, y'all, the best option we had was going to be a $4 million purchase option with $3 million upfit, okay? That was the best one. I'm not telling you all the other ones that we encountered. For us to be able to be a church that wasn't way outside of the Charlotte city limits, all right? That was going to be about $7 million for us to have to get into a campaign and everything else in order to pull that off. And instead, we are acquiring and upfitting a facility for around $500,000. Now, you understand? You let that sit for a second. That is 93% cheaper, okay? I'm the son of an accountant. My dad is like dancing, all right, over this thing. But yeah, that's a significant thing that we're able to then take money and continue to put more money towards God's mission in our city and in the world. Another way we think this strategy is effective is because we're allowing, by being in two locations, it's going to cut down drive time for several of you, which is going to allow you and allow our other members to be closer to where they're going to be able to invite their friends, family, coworkers, et cetera, that they're coming from. We believe it's going to be effective in reaching people. You know, just so that you know this, it's not the only reason we do this, of course, but it's just information about this movement if you're newer to it. Out of the top 100 fastest growing churches in America, 90 of them have employed this strategy where they are. And much more exciting to me, though, is the capacity to send out. This is why I believe it's going to be so effective for us. Most of the effective church planting churches around the country that are kind of in our evangelical stream have adopted this strategy because it helps them to prepare people and equip people to be sent out one day. Because someone not ready to go on a church plant, say to Brooklyn, which is one of the spots we're going to be pushing you towards over the next year, you might take a little bit of a less intimidating step to go be a part of the Providence Road launch team. It's still Mercy Church, not that big of a risk, but it's a step where you're going to be a part of something. And what others have experienced is that that helps prepare people for an even bigger leap they might take later. Y'all, that's the mission, faithful and effective disciple-making as a local church. And we're going to be bold risk takers in that regard because the mission is urgent. And then we're just going to trust the Lord that he's going to honor our motives, and we're going to try and keep our motives as pure and faithful as we can. All right, and we believe this next step, going to two locations, allows us to do that faithful and effective ministry in our own backyard. But let me tell you, that's the first thing. The second thing our elders saw in this decision, not just the mission, but it's the moment that we're in. I'm not going to rehash the story fully of Providence Road, that location in depth, but if you're newer, the short story is Mercy had been out of room here for some time, and we were looking for facility space. It wasn't happening. And we had some quality people looking at all different options, and unless we were willing to go way outside of Charlotte, it just wasn't going to happen. And on the day we got outbid on our best option, a guy from Candlewick Baptist Church comes along and says, hey, what if we joined Mercy and we give you the property, which is just crazy. And that made us pause because, look, that wasn't the story that I had written for Mercy. Like, where we are right now, doing this whole thing, it's just not the story that I came and had planned out. But it made us as elders pause and say, this may not have been on our radar, but we'd be foolish not to listen. And as we did, we listened not only to the leaders of Candlewick Baptist Church, we listened to the Holy Spirit. And we had a couple of discoveries that were really clarifying in that time. One was that 90% of Baptist churches in Charlotte are declining right now. 90%. By the way, I'm not, the flip to this is not that Mercy's some great hero, okay? All I'm saying is the fact that we are growing is an anomaly in our stream of churches right now. Now, I know we're not the only stream, and praise God for that. There's good work happening, but if 120 people a day are moving into the city and a lot of churches are losing people, that's a problem. And so this discovery made us as elders say, what if a part of what God has for Mercy Church is revitalizing other churches around our city? If we want to see a gospel awakening happen, what if that's a part of it? And we just hadn't seen that before. Because here's a church that was willing to come and join us to meet a current Mercy need in the process. And we know there are many others out there who need that help and encouragement. So we look at this moment where a church is, in a huge act of generosity, handing us a solution to one of our problems, and we're able to hand a solution to them, and we're like, seems like the Lord is arranging some things. And not only that, y'all, the process of going through this has been an incredible learning moment for us already to be able to coach and encourage other churches. This morning, I had coffee with a pastor of a church, his declining church. He's been faithfully serving that body of believers for 30 years. And he's like, man, I heard about what you guys are doing over there. Actually, I met him. How many of y'all were here for the patio business meeting that we had? That was just the worst, right? Out there in the heat, everything else. Anyway, because there was a party going on in here. That pastor was at the party in here. It was one of his students' graduation. He comes outside because what's this group out here? It's Mercy Church, who he had heard about because of what was happening with Mercy Church and Candlewick Baptist Church. And he comes out there and says to me, hey, I've heard what y'all are doing. Would you be willing to do that over here? And I was like, we don't know what we're doing over there. I don't know what we're doing over here. Let's figure this thing out for a little bit, right? But we met this, we had coffee this morning, and just to see him pour out his heart. He loves his church, going through a hard time. He's like, how could you, is there any way that we could learn from you and that sort of thing? And I realized what we've been through once, God's going to use, right? That's the way he works. What he takes you through, he then uses in order to bless others. And so there's already Statesboro Road Baptist Church up in North Charlotte and this other one that we had talks with. And then there's a church in right in South End that a guy comes to me and he says, this is like 2 weeks ago. He says, hey man, this church, I think they're about to potentially like join up with our church plant, and it might mean they like turn their property over to us. What do I do? You know, it's like wide-eyed, not sure. I'm like, I got an idea. I don't know. We're just trying to figure it out too. But we're able, I think, in the years to come, really be able to encourage the, and kind of probably in a lot of ways we'll be behind the scenes in this, and sometimes out in front of just encouraging the awakening in Charlotte. And that's what we're after. Y'all, I've sought a lot of counsel on this, and the unanimous feedback from a lot of people with more experience, a lot smarter than me, is like, you got to step into this thing. This seems like what the Lord is doing. The third thing, and then I'm gonna be done with my time. The third thing converging, well, I'm gonna be mostly done. Third thing converging in all of this is the people. You got the mission, you got the moment, and you got the people. I'm not gonna go too long on this, but we believe that God has filled the Mercy family with some of the most gifted, willing, flexible people, and I think it's for something like this. I tell people all the time, I came to start a church, but instead it feels like there was a group of people that all shared the same heartbeat and needed to be gathered together, and you brought your non-Christian friends with you, and a lot of them came to faith, and you needed to be gathered and trained up and then deployed out together. The men and women who have experience, skill, and most importantly, I see it in you, a passion for making disciples here in our generation, it's remarkable. I genuinely believe that you guys are movement leaders for this day. And listen, even down to our leadership, myself included, you know, I had experience serving our sending church, the Summit Church up in Raleigh-Durham. You know, I feel like now I realize God had me there to prepare me for this step because it's a multi-site church. I was there from the moment 13 years ago when we went multi-site. We didn't, you know, come to Charlotte again with the intent of this, but wow, I look back and I go, clearly the Lord had something set in mind that I couldn't even see yet. But the bigger thing we see is that God is calling the members of Mercy up to something big, and he has prepared them for it. You are, y'all. I brag on y'all all the time. Y'all are an extraordinary group of people. I don't mean to puff you up. Y'all are sinners. Okay, y'all got all kinds of junk. So we don't need to go through that. We're not going to, all right, your turn. Not going to do that. We know nobody's perfect. But I believe he's pulled you in here for a season together to meet some others who share your passion for the gospel. And then he's going to call you to be tenacious gospel warriors for our day in the city of Charlotte. And one day that's going to pass, all right? And it's going to be somebody else's turn, right? But this is our day. And I'm putting my cards on the table right now, and I'm telling you, you got to step up. You're going to have to, all of us are going to have to make a real deal commitment to this mission in this moment, because if you don't, it just bottom line ain't going to work, okay? This is beyond the, if the Lord doesn't build the house, the builders labor in vain. That's true. So what's going to happen is it's going to be a comical fail if we don't all step up together and trust the Lord to build this. Look, here's the thing that scares us. One of the things that scares us the most as elders, I'll be candid with you because you need to know this, and well, you could go read about it elsewhere if you wanted to, but most multi-site like resources that you'll read, there's not a lot out there, but the stuff that's out there will say that in general, you need to have about 1,000 people in attendance before you launch a campus. Now, we're at a little over half of that. Now, that's in the summer, and yeah, sure, it might go up in the fall, but the reason you need 1,000, they say, is so that you can have critical mass at both locations. So when someone comes, they're not like, oh, look, it's me and three people. Is this Sunday morning? Is this a community group? What am I in here for, right? But that's assuming 1,000 people nowhere near as awesome as the Mercy Church family. I'll take my 300 Mercy Church, right, to use the movie that, I can't remember, what's Gerard Butler? Wasn't that the guy? I just really want to be him, guys. That's all this is actually the reason I bring that up. No, but I want that because, I believe you guys are the right people for this, but we have got to boldly trust God and lock arms really tight together. All of this, the mission driving us, the Spirit guiding us in this moment, and the people that God has brought together have led us to believe this is the right step forward. Now, let me talk about what it's going to look like. All right, I'm going to give you kind of responses to just the about five most common questions we've gotten as we've had one-on-ones with you guys. And that'll give us, maybe that'll answer some things you might be, questions you might have. And then we'll pull Scott up here. The first one that I've gotten, our elders have gotten a good bit, is how is it one church if it's in two places? And again, I've already alluded a little bit to that, but let me be very clear. We will have one name. We will have one elder body. We will have one mission. We will have one strategy. We will have one gospel-centered, God-glorifying, Bible-informed theology. We will have one philosophy of ministry for children and students and adults. We will have one staff team. We'll have one army of missionaries. That's y'all. We're going to have one budget, and we're going to have one unifying message each weekend, whether in person or by video. Our community groups, those are groups that you can join no matter where you attend, regardless of which location you're at. The look and feel of what is Mercy Church is going to be similar. Music is going to be the same style, right? At some churches, when they do this, there's a lot of different models out there. Some of them are just like they send 30 people into a school and they say, good luck. That's not us, all right? We've decided to make everything feel like Mercy Church. It'll be one church gathering in two locations. Here's the second question. What's the preaching going to be like? And honestly, I probably get this one maybe even more than the first one, which makes sense to me that I would get this a lot because we are, I actually really love this. We're a Bible-driven church. And by that, what I mean is like we thrive on and we're kind of driven by the preaching of God's word, and that drives us into what we do in other areas of ministry, like groups, kids, etc. Like most churches that employ this multi-site strategy, we're going to be a mix of video delivery for our sermons and in-person delivery. Where we are right now is I'm going to preach about 43 sermons, 43 to 45, over the next 52 weeks, and our pastors on our teaching team will preach most of the others. The plan is for the sermon to be live here at Independence and delivered by video at Providence Road on our Sundays. Now, listen, that's largely just a logistics decision, all right? We're in conversations with a couple of locations trying to move out of the Happy Towns Ballroom, and we think that it's unwise at this moment to sink the cash and the capital that would be needed that we wouldn't be able to take with us into this facility to get it up and running for us to be able to use video here as well. So that's just kind of where we are right now. Now, if we end up needing a Saturday evening service, when we're talking about that, if we 9 and 11 over at Providence Road fill up, we're going to be doing Saturday service. Of course, we'd be delivering the sermon live there. About once every 5 to 6 weeks, we'll have pastors on our teaching team preaching live at both locations. That's Pastor Scott Urbanek is on the teaching team. By the way, I'm going to introduce him in a second, but he's going to be our Providence Road campus pastor. Rashard Barnes, John Hellams are on that team as well. Charlie King, our worship director, is going to be taking a couple of reps in that as well. And you'll see a couple of guys, but others step up. Because, man, again, God's given us some incredible men, and we want to continue to raise up, train out, and deploy pastors as well. And I know some would say, well, why do that on video? And again, the biggest reason is what I just said. It's alignment. We're a Bible-driven church, and the preaching of the Bible kind of kickstarts our discipleship strategy for some of these other ministries. Here's the problem, though. I grew up all my life equating Bible knowledge with maturity. Sword drills, you know, those kind of things when you're in Sunday school, stuff like that. And I heard a guy say not too long ago that it was the most knowledgeable people in the world that nailed Jesus to the cross. All the knowledge in the world, and they missed Jesus right in front of them. Because it's not about what, discipleship's not about what we know. It's about what we do with what we know. Right? We let the preaching of God's word kick off discipleship, and we push that idea into application. Video delivery allows us to help keep that message unified in our two locations. Now, again, we've got some gifted communicators. I'm excited that we get more spaces to see them grow over the coming year. But when you preach a sermon in our church, you tie up about 25 hours in sermon prep. Like, this is not like a 3-hour, here's what I think we might want to say and go. We really devote a lot to that. And so you double that in two locations, we'd be at 50 hours, 25 of which, of course, would be tying up from someone else who could be doing pastoral care, ministry development. So we think, the elders think, this allows us to steward resources while we train up preachers, which I love. I looked at a Lifeway research study on multi-site and how people were responding to the idea of multi-site, specifically with video preaching, video delivery for preaching. And one of the comments was, they said, there's some people that say, I'm all for this, but the sermon's got to be live. So if that's you, listen, the surveys kind of came back, and basically the only people who say that are Christians. A lot of non-Christians don't have a paradigm for church like that. And the research said that for non-Christians, they will readily receive, and it's proven time and again, receive preaching through that medium. Basically, all I'm saying is it's not a stumbling block to them. Now, next question. So the third question will be, well, why not just plant churches? This is not an either-or strategy we're walking into. It's a both-and strategy. It's kind of what I alluded to earlier. Some of the most effective church planting churches incorporate this as a means of training up people. And the reason is, again, they get a taste of what it's like to go out before they're sent out to go plant a church. Y'all, we're going to continue to plant churches around the world, and we're going to continue to be about planting churches here in Charlotte alongside of this strategy as well. It's not an either or. In fact, I think we're going to see that one's going to become a catalyst for the other. The next one, who's leading the new campus? We decided today, Pastor Scott is going to be the campus pastor. He's going to introduce the rest of the staff here in just a second. So the last question I get, who should go? Who should go do this? All right. We're going to need about 200 people to go help launch this campus. This is why I say this is all of us in, because that's about 50% of our membership, which means everybody's going to be going somewhere. Ain't no room anymore to stand around on the sideline, all right? If you've been on the sideline, this is just the right moment to step off the sideline into the game somewhere, being able to serve, hopefully, as the Lord has gifted you. And if you need help figuring that out, it's what our community group leaders and our pastors are for. So one of the simple ways to decide is just to think, like, where do you live? I mean, let's just make that a starting point. There are many other things to decide. Where's your community group going? Where is there a space to serve? Because again, this is not about where will you attend, it's where will you serve. So where will you go? But it might start with just what's going to be the closer spot to you. This is most likely going to be my family. Our plan right now is this is going to be where my family is. But that's because this is closer to us. It just makes sense. It's easier for us to invite our neighbors over here than it would be to Providence Road. It's not that complicated of a thing for us at this point. So with that said, I want to give Pastor Scott a chance to come up and talk about some more of the practical how you take that step, whether it's at Providence Road or it's here at Independence, how you take that step to get more involved. So, Pastor Scott, come do your thing.
I will come do my thing. Appreciate that, Pastor. Thank you so much again for being here. Y'all, I get excited. I don't know if y'all have noticed that about me. I get excited about things, and there are a few things in recent memory that have gotten me more jacked up than the opportunity to reach more people with the gospel. I thought Pastor Spence did an incredible job explaining why we're excited about this move and why we think this is the move that the Lord has for Mercy Church. So what I'm here to talk to you about is how is this going to happen, right? Answering that question, how is this going to happen? So over the last couple months, we've been working hard to plan for this launch of Mercy Providence Road. And one of the really big things, the significant things that we've done recently, is we have decided to hire more staff team members to be able to go and be at Providence Road. So what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to introduce those staff members to you right now. So if y'all would come on stage now. As they come up on stage, I'm going to introduce them. But as Pastor Spence said, I am going to be the campus pastor. So my primary responsibility is going to be overseeing the campus as a whole. So I'm going to oversee the campus as a whole. That includes the staff, the weekend services, all of the members who attend this campus, and making sure that we shepherd and care for those members. Does that make sense? That is my responsibility, and I will oversee that, and I'm really, really excited to do so. So right here, I'd like to introduce you to Zach Taylor and Paige Taylor. You may know them. They've actually been with Mercy Church since our launch. Zach, in fact, he what actually led our kids ministry for a while, and Paige led some communications, so they've been all in at Mercy Church for a while, and Zach Taylor is going to be our worship leader at Mercy Providence Road. So he is incredibly gifted. He is a shepherd. His wife is incredibly awesome as well. They are actually they're our community, a really awesome community group leader couple that everybody's like, how do I get in that group? You know, they are really awesome, and we are really excited to have you join us. And then over here is Kelly and Joey Schwartz. Joey is actually going to be over, he is going to be our associate campus director. So what that means is he is going to be overseeing all of our guest services ministries, and he will also help me as I care and shepherd the people and the staff of Mercy Providence Road, and he will help me oversee everything that goes on with Mercy Providence Road to make sure that we ensure the care for all the people that God is going to send our way so that we can minister to them as best as possible and also care for the members that we have at Mercy Providence Road. So I wanted to introduce them to you, so if y'all would give them a hand and welcome them to Mercy Providence Road. Thank you so much. Y'all can grab a seat. We are really excited for them. The last one that I forgot to mention is we're actually also going to have a Mercy Kids person that will be there. Again, all of our programming that we have for kids and for students, we're actually going to have at both locations. We have not yet identified who that person is. I think we're close. And once we know who that kids person is, we will let you know as soon as possible. But we believe that God really is doing incredible things, and I think we have put a staff in place that we are confident in and that we are really, really excited about. So one thing you hear from us all the time, if you haven't heard this before, then I need to keep saying it over and over again, is that we believe that that God wants to see a gospel awakening in this city that carries to the ends of the earth. And Charlotte is a strategic city. And Mercy Providence Road is in a strategic location. So check this out, y'all. Within a few square miles of Mercy Providence Road, we have an incredible opportunity to reach all kinds of people. So there are a lot of business professionals who are influencers in the marketplace. We have really awesome schools. And at the same time, there's a neighborhood not far from there, at the corner of Providence Road and 51, where the residents, most of the residents who live in that neighborhood are actually from South Asia. So y'all, God is sending unreached people groups right within half a mile from where we're going to be. What an incredible opportunity that is. People who have had no access, and they thought they were coming here for a job, but they actually came here to know Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. That's my God. So that's what I think the Lord wants to do through us. That's right. Amen. So that's what the Lord, I believe, wants us to do, is to go after people like that. As Pastor Spence mentioned before, since the launch of this church, we believe that this is probably the most significant step of faith that we have taken. And y'all, I am excited. And there are so many reasons that I'm excited, but one reason I think is pretty easy to overlook. In our culture, one of the biggest enemies to the church is consumerism. And by this, I mean that it's really easy to come into church week after week and receive but not give themselves to the mission of God. The problem with this is that those who only receive from the church and don't give their lives to the mission are really missing out on seeing God actually work in and through them and receive the joy that only comes from obedience. So frequently, we've said this before, when we talk to people who often say, hey, you know, Pastor Scott, I'm just having a hard time. You know, I don't really have any joy in my relationship with Jesus. I frequently ask them, what was the last radically obedient step you've taken for Christ? I have yet, in 4 years of asking that question, had someone say to me, oh yeah, well this week I did this radical for the Lord, this radically obedient step. So here's what happened. We know in the scriptures, John 15:11, that when we obey, God gives us joy. So when we have people who aren't engaged in the mission of God, it's like they are a fish out of water flailing around wondering what's wrong. We were built and created for a mission. That's what we were created for. And you don't get to see God actually move. So I think inventory time for you right now, have you seen God do something really incredible in or through you recently? Has it been because of a lack of obedience overall in your life? I really want to challenge you. I know it's a big challenge, but oftentimes we see that when people obey and they step out and they give themselves to the mission of God, God does incredible things through them, and they get to see and say in the moment, oh my goodness, I can't believe that God just did that right in front of my eyes. And oftentimes it's simple obedience that leads us there. So moving to two campuses, I think, affords us an incredible opportunity to get in on the work that God is already doing. Pastor Spence mentioned most churches, we get this, don't do this unless they have at least 1,000 people in attendance. But listen, give me the church where every single member is involved, over 1,000 people where not everybody's involved. Give me Mercy Church, the people that I, listen, I would not be here if I didn't believe in you. I have seen y'all do unbelievable things. And I know the best days of Mercy Church are not behind us, they're ahead of us. And I believe in that, not because necessarily because we have an awesome pastor or because we have an awesome ministry team or whatever. I believe in that because of you. That's why I believe in that. So I'm asking you to get engaged. Again, this is not a guilt trip. It's not a guilt trip. This is a God-sent opportunity to join in God's unstoppable mission. So to break this down further, as Pastor Spence mentioned, we plan to build a launch team that will be sent out to start Mercy Providence Road. We need around 200 people to join our launch team. The best way to do this is not by asking yourself, hey, where do I want to attend? It needs to be, hey, where can I minister? Where can I serve? How has God gifted me, and what can I do? And I believe if you start there, the posture of your heart is ready for God to do something mighty in and through you. So here we have, listen, we have a ton of avenues for you to get involved. I'll be honest, there are some real challenges to this move. The property is incredible. Again, it's an incredible location. It's being renovated right now. This building is beautiful. But there are some limitations to this property that will be difficult. For example, we're going to need people to give their lives to making it possible for prodigals to come home, primarily through the avenue of shuttling teams in, shuttling people in. So we have around 100 parking spots. That's just not really enough to have all the people that we have coming our way. So to be honest with you, we've been shuttling people here. We need, like, the Fast and the Furious crew to come in and, like, help us. We need people like that to come in and to own the fact that, listen, we have to get these people in. It's going to take that kind of a move and that kind of people to really engage with this. Our shuttling is going to be the biggest obstacle to people coming and hearing the gospel. And here's what I know about y'all. Y'all ain't okay with that. Y'all are not okay with people not being able to get inside. And I know we're going to be able to crush this. And listen, so that will mean that our members oftentimes are going to need to be shuttled in. Now, is that inconvenient? Yes, it can be. But not for mission-minded people. Mission-minded people are gladly inconvenienced for the mission of making God known. Do you hear that? God, when we are around the mission, we are mission-minded people. When it comes time to be inconvenienced, so that someone can hear the gospel, so that someone can come to know Jesus, because someone's enslaved to sin and they don't know that a God died for them. And we need to walk a little bit to get to the shuttle and then get bussed in. That ain't a big deal for us. We're going to take care of that, no problem. I know y'all. Get out of the way, Satan. We got this. So here's what we need. Again, that is one of our biggest needs, is that shuttle team. But we need people to serve in guest services, so that's greeting, parking, again, the shuttle team, seating, setup. There'll be some setup. There'll be some teardown. We'll have our headquarters again so that we can make sure that y'all are fed and y'all are caffeinated. We'll need first responders to be able, if there's an emergency, that we can make sure that we take care of our people in case somebody has an accident or something like that. We want to make sure that we have all of our bases taken care of so that we can care for our people and so that we can make God known in that place. So what I would like to do right now is I want to give each and every one of you an opportunity to sign up to serve at Mercy Providence Road and to serve at our Independence campus. Because again, we have to send some people out. Many of you are going to be going. So that means we're also going to have some needs here. So if you haven't been serving, listen, ain't no guilt trip right now. This is the best time for y'all to get in. This is the best time for y'all to get in. We think that God is on the move. And one of the things that I've been praying for over the last time, especially today, comes out of Ephesians 3:20, and here's what it says. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. So it says, now to him who is able, him is God, and he's able to do far more abundantly. What does abundance mean? It means more than you need. So he's able to do far more, way more than you need. And then he even says, more than you could ask or think. I could think of a lot of things. I could think of a lot of things that I want to see God do. And he's saying that he could do far more abundantly than anything I could ask or anything that I could think. And I think that God really wants that for us. And we're going to cling to that. And so right now what I want to do is I want to give y'all an opportunity to do a little bit of Q&A with us. So any questions you might have. So we're not going to spend a ton of time doing this because we want to make sure that we get y'all out on time. So maybe 3, maybe 4 questions. And then, of course, all of our teams will be here after the service to answer any questions that you might have.
We're going to pray.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to pray. Yeah. So after this, we're going to spend some time in prayer together. But I was assuring you that you will have someone here to answer your questions, any questions that you might have. So does anyone have any questions? Yes, so his question is, is our student ministry going to be at both locations? So we have been dreaming and planning for Mercy students for a long time. We think that we're just beginning to see what God is planning on doing. Over the last year, we've seen 5 students come to know Jesus through our ministry, which is incredible. If you don't know about our student ministry, we actually have a Bible study that meets during our 9 o'clock service right here for students, so 6 through high school. Most of them are in the middle high school area, and it's just a really sweet time. So we are planning on having them at both services. We are figuring out, what's that? Yeah, both locations, I'm sorry, at both locations. That is the plan currently. We are in talks right now to figure out how we're going to do that. We need people who are interested in possibly serving at our Providence Road location. We've been looking for that, and we are excited about that. So the answer is yes, and we are in the process of figuring out how we are going to do that.
Yeah, we're like a 7-iron from Providence High School there, right? So, I mean, we really have got to take advantage of the spot God has put us in. I'm confident about launching that in both places. It's good.
Anybody else?
Yeah, so the question is, it's kind of it's a great question, and it's a missionary question, which is, are we going to use your language, copy and paste our ministries and model here or there at Providence Road? And by and large, our instincts and our intent and our plan is to begin because we want to be one church that meets in 2 locations, and because this is a space that has a lot of Mercy people already coming from nearby there, we feel like the right first step is for it to look very similar. And so we think that that's going to be the way that we start. That's a healthy way to start. And then for however the adaptations need to happen, both here and at Providence Road, we're going to always treat our location as good missionaries. That's driving to faithful and effective. So part of effective is how are we doing in reaching people. But our instinct is we're going to be Mercy Church in both locations. And so to do that well, we need to look similar. And so we'll look pretty similar as we get started. Yeah, we're actually going to make an escape room. We're pretty excited about it.
Yeah, so there are a lot of rooms. One of the things that we have found is that there are more kids. There's more kids space there. Even though there's more kids, I'm trying to figure out how technical I want to get. So there are, you can only bring as many kids as you can have people in seats. Does that make sense? So the max, so we can fit around 300 chairs in that facility. And if that is maxed out, that'll be based on all the studies that we found out, that would be around 128 kids that we could, if we can fit 300 people in there, we could have a capacity of 128 kids in one service. So there is going to be more space, and some of the other rooms that you may have seen kind of walking through the facility. Our office right now is in Pineville Matthews, and if you have been there recently to visit us, it looks like a dorm room. We've got like a million people packed in. I think we have three offices. And so we're actually going to office our whole staff out of that one location. So one side of it's going to be Mercy Church offices, and the other side is going to be Mercy Kids.
Yep. Sorry, man. We don't actually get an escape room. We couldn't fit it.
Great question. So there are three or four potential parking lots. One, there's we've arranged a deal. There's a food line? Yeah, there's a food line that's across the street.
Yep.
That we have entered negotiations with them. They have already committed to give us a select number of spots. It's not many. It's probably around 15 spots. So we'll go through that a lot, pretty quickly. So there's also some other places. There's one place by the pool that we've been talking to the neighborhood about. They said they will get back with us. There are some other office parks that are really close. About two or three of them have already agreed to give us access to that, which are less than a mile and we've tested it. I think it's like a 3-minute drive. So it's time-wise, it's faster from the corporate office parks that are around the area to go from there to Mercy Providence Road in time than it is to go from to shuttle from down there to get across that street on average and to get up here. Now it's a little further, but time-wise, as we've kind of tested it and ran through it, they're all within a mile. There's three or four different spots that we've kind of. We're also talking to the high school that's nearby in case we need to do that. But there are three or four around the area that we've entered negotiations with, and many have agreed to that.
Oh yeah, good question. What do we mean by video delivery? Yeah, that's a good question. The simulcast, that sort of thing. Exploring it all for now. The way we're going to do it is we will record the sermon, and then it'll be played Sunday morning, right? So the hope will be we'll get to a spot where we're not going to launch with Saturday night because we'd be going from 2 to 5 services. I know, that's the way our staff responded. I was like, what? You know, it's no big deal. Whatever. So we're going to...
We're all in the fetal position in our office right away.
And I've told them we'll wait till we need that. So it'll be like October. Now, I don't know when it'll happen, but... But that's going to be the initial, because again, it comes back to hardware and sunk cost. To do the live stream was going to be about $120,000 in sunk cost. And to come here at this, to do it in a way that is like, it's going to work. You know what I mean? So we're not doing Facebook Live. Like to do it in a way that we feel like it's high quality, this is going to be a good thing because the delivery of the sermon matters. We're not taking that lightly at all with what we're doing. And so we feel like for the moment with the mobile and hopefully, a new location out of here at some point, we felt like that was the smartest play, and so we'll record it, and then play it back there at Providence Road. So, yep. Will we post a video podcast?
Great idea.
That's a great idea. Yes.
Yes.
Charlie King.
Thank you, Charlie.
Woo! Hey, thank you. You saved me like 4 meetings. That's just done. I love it. What else we got, guys? We're rolling. but I do want us. I want to make sure we spend some time praying. Rachel, we'll let you be the last one there. Yeah, good question. We're actually going to be recording. Yeah, you guys are actually. Everybody's welcome to be. What we're saying is we're not going to have all of our ministries going at the time we record this service because by that I mean like kids ministry. So we're not asking because everybody's doubling. We're doubling our ministry capacity. And that's a big step to do Providence Road Sunday morning and Independence Sunday morning. So we're saying we're not tripling. But when we record the sermon, we're going to say to anybody who wants to be there, yeah, be there. So it's not going to be Saturday night. We're trying to figure out what our rhythm's going to be, whether that's going to be Thursday afternoon, Friday, midday, Saturday. We're basically trying it out to see what's going to work for our team until we get to the point where if and when we need that Saturday.
Well, thank you for those questions. Again, our staff will be here after. If for any questions that you might have, right now we're going to transition into a time of prayer. So Pastor Spence is going to lead us through that time. Here are the prayer points. Did you need that?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
So he's going to lead us through that time, and we're just going to take a time to pray and ask God to be with us through this big change.
Cool notebook.